Okay, good morning, everyone. I had my usual wobbles before getting up here, so I woke up yesterday morning and thought, I'm not doing it, I'm going to phone Rob. I have that every time. I'm sure Rob's relieved that I didn't do that. I just want to say thank you to the people that have encouraged me this morning and yesterday. Thank you, Dave Courtney. I really appreciate you seeking me out to encourage me, because I needed that, because you kind of feel like people are rooting for you and are kind of here with you, and that's what family's about. I know that people want me to do well this morning, and thank you for Tony and Wendy encouraging me this morning. I can't see where you are, but thank you. I really appreciate that. And Doreen, you know, you guys are family, and that's just been a real boost today, so thank you. So I've had something on my heart to share for months. It's kind of just been growing in me, and God's really challenged me on this over the last few weeks, and it's going to be challenging, but hopefully encouraging as well. But I really feel that the visual picture I had for this morning was that I saw a lot of us at a crossroads, and this crossroads we'd actually been at, some of us, for years in certain areas, and the thing that's stopping us from moving is it's fear, and fear is what I want to talk about this morning. And I really believe that through what we talk about today, it's the start of something. Not everything is going to be solved today, but it's the start of a journey of taking a path of letting those fears just be washed away, as we've sung about this morning. Because I really feel that fear is holding a lot of people back from really moving forward and really reaching the full potential that God's got for them. So when we think about fear, there's lots of different things. I just wanted to show you a couple of things just to tell you a little bit about some of my phobias. So if we could have the first picture. No, don't say, oh, no. I was trying to look for a decent frog picture and I was traumatized just scrolling through Google Images. I have a massive frog phobia. I don't believe it stops me fulfilling my calling, I've got to say. But you know, if I was called to a country where there were lots of frogs, who knows, it could stop me. But, yeah, I hate the thing. This next one, I just want you to watch this video because I just find this unbelievable. But just watch this. Not a big fan of heights. I freak out going over the bridge at Hightown Station, so that just, yeah, wouldn't compute with me. Is anybody looking at that thinking, oh my word, I've got to go on that? Would, yeah? Yeah, you brave souls. Pete Evans would definitely be there in a heartbeat. Yes. There's lots of things that we can have phobias about, be anxious about, be worried about, and fears, but that's not necessarily what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the fear that paralyzes us. Fear of situations, of people, of things over which we have no control or limited control. Fear that characterizes itself with worry and anxiety. Fear of losing friends or family members. Fear of not being able to pay the bills. Fear of rejection. Fear of losing a job. Fear of lack. Fear of man. Fear of failure. Fear of unrealized dreams. That's such a massive one right there. Fear of abandonment, fear of not being good enough, fear of looking weak, fear of putting yourself forward, fear of the future, fear of change, and so on and so on. I mean, that's just a very small list of some of the fears that paralyze us. And sometimes, well, a lot of the time when we say that we can't do something, what we're really saying is that we're afraid to do it. And I can tell you that I find the lead up to standing up here really scary. You know, if I did this based on feeling confident, I can tell you I wouldn't be standing here now. If I did it based on thinking, yeah, I've got this, I'm an amazing speaker, I wouldn't be standing up here now. But I know that it's something God's called me to do. And so that's why I put myself through the 4 toilet trips downstairs before I make it up here. That's why I join the worship. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to pass out if I don't just get on with it, you know. But what fears do, so often they immobilize, they control, they exhaust, and they overwhelm. And Tino said this phrase, which I absolutely loved. He said, fear is a lens that distorts everything. I know, profound. I like that one. Fear often informs the thoughts that we have about ourselves, about the world, about others. So, for example, a fear of rejection causes us to think that we have no value and that anyone who loves us will leave us. And this starts to affect our behaviour. If you expect to be rejected, you start to push people away. You know, all of these things have kind of behaviours. If we've got a lot of fear about our kids and how they're going to turn out, we start to try and control them. I can tell you now, trying to control Joe is like trying to control the wind, you know. I often, while he's playing up, I think about that song in Sound of Music. How do you solve a problem like Maria? And I just change it to Joseph. You know, how do you catch a cloud and pin it down? That's Joseph. You know, I can't control him. That's not the way that parenting's going to work with him, you know. But that's what we do. Fears cause us to try and control the people around us. You know, one of the fears that I had that was really overwhelming when I became a parent was that I wouldn't bond with Ellie because, you know, she had a fierce loyalty to her birth mum, which, you know, was absolutely right and fine. But I knew that she was really struggling to bond with me, and the Holy Spirit just showed me that. And so he just spoke to me and gave me some words to say to her. This is what I love about God, because whatever your fears are, God's got a specific word, specific action for you to do that will turn it around, that's individual to you. That's the thing I find the most incredible about God. Unbelievable that he would speak directly into my situation. So I just went to Ellie and I just explained one night time, and I was talking to her about God's love. And I said, do you know that we can love so much, God's got so much love that he can love me with all his heart, but he can also love you with all his heart. And he can love Nan and Grandad with all his heart and Daddy and everybody else because he's got enough love. And I said, that's just like you. God gives us enough love for other people that you can love your birth mummy with all your heart, which is absolutely good and right, but you can love me with all your heart as well. And from that moment, everything changed. Just from that, it was just a couple of sentences, but it's profound the difference that's made. I could have stayed in that fear for years. And what that fear was causing me to do was to kind of push her away without realizing it, because I didn't want to be hurt and I didn't want to be rejected. And, you know, you can paint a whole picture in your mind. I'm sure you've all done this. You've painted your entire future. You see how it's going to go. She's not going to love me. She'll probably want to leave home as soon as she gets a chance. She'll want to go back to her family and she won't want to know us. And I painted this entire picture because of this fear that I had. But I wasn't trusting in God. And I say, from that moment on, everything started to change. She started to soften physically. You know, when she was hugging me, it wasn't like hugging a brick anymore. You know, she started to soften her heart towards me. And what's been happening in the last sort of 6 months is that spontaneously she tells me she loves me. So how incredible is that? You know, and I no longer feel threatened by the fact that, you know, she's got another mum. Well, that's okay. You know, we can make room for that. And there's going to be challenges we have to face in the future. I know that. But what I need to do at that moment is go back to God and say, okay, what do I need right now for where we're at now? Because we're moving on all the time. And I really believe God's got specific things to speak to each and every person here about the things that you're afraid of. So I don't know how many people know what I do in my job. I'm an occupational therapist and I've worked for years in mental health, and I work in specialist weight management at the moment. Been doing that for nearly 6 years. And we do something called dialectical behavioural therapy, and we do cognitive behavioural therapy. And there's some really good stuff in there, and some of it's really quite godly in the principles, but God's got a whole other degree of freedom for us. So we can challenge thoughts and we can look at how thoughts and feelings affect our behaviour. But God's got this whole other level, which is just incredible. What the things I teach to my patients, what they do is they help them to manage their fears, manage their anxieties. But they don't get rid of the fears and anxieties. It just means that they can deal with the situation that they find difficult. So if it's social situations, then they can cope with it. But I believe God's got a much deeper degree of freedom for everybody here. I really, really do. Okay, so there's some things that I just want to pick out. There's so much I could talk about around fear, but there's just some particular things that I wanted to highlight that I've been sort of reading about and thinking about. Right, so the first thing I want you to ask yourself, and this is quite controversial, but it's something I've seen time and time again when I'm doing therapy and when I'm talking to people. Sometimes people don't want to be free. Does that probably sounds a little bit backwards, but sometimes the fears that we've had for as long as we can remember. They've become such a part of our identity. The thought of being without it is actually scarier. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, good. One of the things I found really bizarre when I first started working with my patients was that they just didn't seem to be making any changes to lose weight. And these were people who'd put their health at serious risk because of their weight. And had taken years off their lifespan and all sorts of things. People in their 20s, in their 30s, who got so out of breath, they couldn't play with their kids, couldn't hold down a job. I mean, just really sort of messed up lives. And I was with this patient one day. I felt God say, ask them if they want to change. And I thought, well, that's quite offensive. They're in a weight management service. They're not going to be here if they don't want to change. But I thought, I'll go with it. So I just said, do you actually want to lose weight? And this lady just broke down crying, and she said, no, you're the first person who's actually asked me that. She didn't actually want to lose weight because she had she'd been abused when she was younger, and her weight was her way of protecting herself. She wanted to be unattractive, in her words, so that men would not bother her. Nobody had ever asked her before. So there's no point in that case working on losing weight and doing the diet and the exercise when there's that inherent fear of what weight loss could mean. So does that all kind of make sense? Another incredible thing, we've got friends in Coventry, a couple who are both blind, have been blind since birth. And, we were always really in faith and praying for them and believing for their healing. And then me and Tina were talking to Jason one day, and he said, I feel a bit awkward, people keep praying for me because I don't actually want to be healed. And we were just like blown away by this, you know, because why would you not want to be able to see? And he was actually scared of losing all his benefits because that he was so used to financially having that security that actually he didn't want to be healed. He needed God to do some work for that desire to grow. So we were focusing on the wrong things for him. So, it's really, really important and key. I really, really believe this is the key thing today, that you ask yourself, do you want to be free? Do you want to be without that fear that's perhaps been crippling you for years? Because it's hard. This is scary stuff, to imagine yourself not having that fear. And it's hard. I know the frog thing was a bit daft, but I can't imagine not being scared of frogs. But I do know deep down, I know that God could free me from that. You know, and he can do this stuff. He can do a deep work in us. But the starting point might actually be to ask God to give you the desire for change and the desire to be free. I know that sounds mad, but that might be the starting point. And I think that's, again, that picture of just being at that crossroads and thinking, do I want to progress? Do I want to go forward? Because this is familiar. Our fears can be very familiar. It gives us a particular boundary. We know what to expect. We know ourselves with that fear. Other people know us with it as well, you know, because these things affect other people. So it's a really, really important thing to ask yourself. And if you've never done that before, I really encourage you to do that and let God just pinpoint that for you. Okay, so the next point. Who believes that making decisions, who believes that's powerful? Incredibly powerful. There's been studies done about the changes that happen in the brain when definite decisions are made. If you think about the decision that we made to follow Christ, and when you think about repentance and what that means, which means to stop what you do, turn away, go the other way, turn around, go the other way. It's kind of the same with something like this, but you will struggle to make that decision until you've asked yourself that first question of whether you want to deal with this fear. But decisions are so, so powerful. One of the things we do, I do a food and mood group, very imaginative title, isn't it? We couldn't think of anything else. So that's what we do in our therapy group. And the first week, we get the patients to make a verbal commitment to stop binge eating. So these are patients who've got binge eating disorder. And it's absolutely terrifying for them. The responses we get are really mixed. Some people get very angry with us. You know, some people say, I'm not doing it. And we get all sorts of different responses. We revisit that commitment towards the end of the group. And it's amazing how much easier it is for people to make that decision. But what's happened from that first point, change starts to come. Because they've said that out loud. They've put it out there in the ether that they want to make a change. Even though at that point they think it's completely impossible. Because some of them have been engaging in these behaviours for 30 plus years. And they just can't imagine being able to cope with their emotions in any other way but to do this. But when you make a definite decision, it changes something. It absolutely changes something. And how this worked for me once, when we went to New York and we had the chance to go up the Empire State Building and everything, I don't like heights, as I've said. Wasn't sure about going in this ridiculously tall building. But I made the decision on the plane on the way over that I was not going to be afraid and I was going to do whatever I got the chance to do and take the opportunities. And amazingly, I just did these things and I enjoyed them. And all I'd done is make a decision. Now, I know with some things it's not going to be that easy because there's so much that comes with it. But that's just an example of the power of making a definite decision that you are going to start to look at these things. Okay. Okay. Focus on things that don't give power to your fears. Who knows that when you focus on particular images or particular things, it fuels that fear in you? Now, you know, one of the events that impacted me the most when I was a teenager was Hillsborough, because I was only 15 years old and you just can't believe what you're seeing. But I got a little bit too into it, you know, looking at the footage of it and different things like that. And it wasn't healthy, really. You know, it says very clearly in Philippians 4:18, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It's so, so key that we do this, not just because we're trying to deal with fears, but on a daily basis, because we are bombarded now through media and everything else and the news with just so many horrible images that will just add to your fear. You know, and we're all talking about the world's getting worse and all these things are happening. But where are we focusing all of our senses? You know, I believe God gave us these incredible senses and he gave us an imagination. But it can be used negatively. I really believe it's a powerful, powerful, powerful tool when we use our imagination to picture ourselves being free. Picture ourselves being fearless. Picture ourselves doing the thing that we don't think we can do. It's just so powerful. What we think on, what we're hearing, what we're seeing, what we're touching, all of those things, so, so powerful. Because what we want to do is give power to what God's trying to do in our lives. We don't want to give power to fear, negativity, judgment, all of these things. We want to give power to joy and love. And we don't do that by just using our senses to look at things that are just bringing us down. They're just fueling that fear. And it's so important that we do the groundwork. You know, I'd love to just pray for everybody now and everybody just leave and be fear free. But, you know, we've got to put the work in. You're not going to get rid of fear just by being here this morning or even by coming out for prayer, because this is something we have to do on a daily basis and we have to believe that God can do this. We need our faith to rise, that we can actually be free. Because the callings on our lives They will take us to places that people say you shouldn't go. You know, think of the places that Paul goes traveling on his own. In the natural, you think, what? But, you know, Paul knows that's what God's calling him to do. You know, and I really honour you for just going for it, Paul, because there's probably times people have said, oh, you don't want to be going there. You know, you don't want to be doing that. You know, but that's the call of God. It's going to take you to places you won't believe. It's going to cause you to do things you won't believe. Me standing here, who can believe it? It's crazy. But, you know, the call on our lives is just unbelievable. And we're told to renew our minds daily. You know, what does that mean? Because sometimes, you know, we throw these verses out. But what does it actually mean to renew your mind? Well, it's about focusing on the true, the noble, the just, the pure, the lovely, things of good report. It's about doing that daily. It's about being in the presence of the Lord. You know, we sang, in your presence all our fears are washed away. Just by preparing this and spending time with the Lord, I've got a different perspective on things that last week I perhaps didn't see quite so well. You know, 5 minutes with the Lord and it changes everything. Who can attest to that? Just 5 minutes in the presence of God and suddenly the world looks like a different place and you look like a different person within that. Another verse, which I love, Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8 goes on to advise about meditating on true, pure and virtuous things. A real key to having peace of mind. I've been looking loads this week because I've never really understood about the fear of the Lord. And so I've been studying it a lot more this week and thinking, what does that mean? So initially, you know, if you look in the Bible, fear of the Lord was very much about fear of judgment, you know, and that's what caused a lot of people to make that decision to live for God, that fear of what would happen if you don't, you know. But it says in the Bible, the fear of the Lord is the start of wisdom. And I believe that what that wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective and responding accordingly. And that God starts to move us on from a fear. We're not meant to be terrified of God, but I see it as this, and it's a foundational thing, that fear of the Lord is our reverence for him, our recognition of our dependence on him, our awe of his power and glory, our commitment to obeying him, our continual awareness of him. That perspective should lead to an appreciation and a praise and a deeper love of God, who has given us everything we have and everything we'll ever receive. And our relationship will grow from that point. Does that kind of make sense? I think sometimes we've lost that fear of the Lord. You know, continual awareness of him. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Are we acknowledging him on a daily basis? This is what I've been teaching the youth recently. To go into college, into school, into work. And just, if you don't know what else to say at the start of a day, just say, Lord, I acknowledge that you're with me. Don't know what else to say, but I'm just acknowledging that I'm going into this day with you. I'm not on my own. And that just opens the door to you hearing what God's got to say. Those nuggets of what to say when you're facing a situation at work or school or wherever you are. Just those little nuggets of wisdom that come because you've invited him in. You've said, I'm telling you that you can speak into my life today. I'm not going to go through life as if you don't exist. I'm actually going to acknowledge that you're there. And I just think it's a really key thing, because when fear of the Lord's in place, then there's not a lot of room for those other fears that take over. If you really think about who God is. And the fear of the Lord brings with it many blessings and benefits. We're told in Psalm 111 verse 10, it's the beginning of wisdom and leads to good understanding. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, rest, peace and contentment. So not a lot of place for tormenting fear in there. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. Fear of the Lord provides a security and a place of safety. Fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. I mean, that's powerful stuff, isn't it? And the positive fear of the Lord, I believe, is a key element to bring change, because it gives us a proper, humble perspective of ourselves in relation to God, helps us in times of temptation, because we do need to remember the consequences of disobeying God. Not that we see him as a God with a big stick ready to beat us up when we get it wrong, but there are consequences when we're not following what he's saying and we don't do what he asks us to do. You know, somebody else might be missing out on something because we're not doing what he's asking us to do. It's that respect, a reverential respect for who he is in our lives, for everything he's done for us. You know, and I often think something that just helps me keep in check my behaviour in the workplace or whatever, I often, if I'm talking with my colleagues, I'll think, well, if Jesus was sat next to me right now, physically sat next to me, would I be saying this? You know, would I be moaning about the boss to the others? You know, all of these things, it changes your perspective. We know that God lives within us. But actually, if he was physically present, would we do some of the things that we do? Would we say some of the things that we say? Or would we actually be talking differently? Would we be acting differently? I don't think we'd be as fearful if he was physically next to us. But for some reason, we don't always remember that he's actually within us, and that power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. But just picture for a minute yourself walking into a situation that you would normally fear with Jesus physically there holding your hand. Would you feel differently? We would, absolutely. And that's where that imagination is so, so important and so, so powerful. If you can picture him with you, walking with you into these things. Really, really important. If we develop a fear of the Lord, I believe we move away from being controlled by a spirit of fear. And we all know this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And the Greek word for fear in this verse is deilia, if I'm saying that right, which means cowardice, timidity, and fearfulness. And we know that these things do not come from God, that he doesn't bring fear. But sometimes we're afraid, and sometimes the spirit of fear overwhelms us. And we need to trust in God in those moments. 1 John 4:18 tells us there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. That's another verse I've never really understood properly. What does it mean to be perfected in love? So I used to think it just meant that the love was perfect. Well, that's quite simple. But actually, there's a lot more to it than that. What it's talking about, if you really look into it, is a perfect love. It's like it's an accomplished love. It's mature love. It's the love of others and the love of God as a completed thing. And it's all related to abiding. So the words just before the verse about perfective love, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. In this is love perfected with us. That the this in that verse is talking about abiding in love. And when you abide in love, love is perfected in you. And another verse says, no man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So God's love, perfected love, is talking about that completion, love being an action, not just talking about love, but actually walking in that love. And if you think about it, if you're loving other people the way that you're called to, there's not going to be a lot of space for fear in that either, because you're going to be completely focused on loving others, reaching out to those that God's got for you to reach out to. And that takes the focus off those fears, because your mind is on those other people and on that love. And I just think that's wonderful. I love that description of perfected. So if we just think for a minute about where we want to go from here, what you know, do we want to move forward? Can we picture ourselves without those fears that cripple us? And it's such an individual thing. There might be fears you have that other people know about. There might be fears you have that you've never told anybody about. And that manifests in anxiety, in worry. And that in turn affects how you behave. You might distance yourself from things. You might hide away. You might say no every time you're asked to do something. You know, it might manifest itself in that way. You know, anxiety feelings can be very crippling, debilitating. But what I feel God's asking us to do today at this point is just say, Lord, I want to be free of this, or I want to be free of this. That might be the first step for you in moving forward. And these things here that I've put up here, that's just a few ideas. There's so many things that we could learn about fear and how God deals with it. But I believe what God's saying this morning is to each of us is, let me prove myself faithful to you. Give me an opportunity here. Because I really think he's just there waiting to show you his love, to show you that you can be fearless, to show you that you can go through the rest of your life without those particular fears holding you back. But he needs you to be willing. He wants to prove himself to you today. And just hand those fears over to him. Tina, would you share your...
Nothing like preparing me, and that was nothing like preparing me. I used to live in Coventry, and the university was about half a mile away, and I used to have to walk past this graveyard every day. In the daytime, it was no big deal, but I used to have to walk past it at night loads and loads of times because it was just... late meetings in the winter when it had got dark already. And every time I used to go past it, man, I don't know whether you've ever experienced that fear that makes the hair on the back of your head stand up and you just get a shiver down your spine and stuff like this. And I just used to walk super fast for this about quarter of a mile thing that this cemetery went along for. And one day I was in a church, and the vicar at that church said... I preached a sermon about fear, and he said, I want you to imagine that the cross is in front of you, and I want you to come with this fear as if it's in your hands, and just put it at the cross, turn around and walk away. So it was a very physical thing that he got us to do at the end of the sermon. He actually had us come to the altar where the cross was and literally put our fears there and walk away. And I thought, well... it's no big deal, this fear, but I want to get rid of it. I just don't want it hanging around my life anymore. So I said, I'm going to do this. So I took it in my hands and responded with the altar call. And I just said, right, God, I'm going to give you this fear, and I'm going to lay it at the cross, and I'm going to turn around and walk away. And I did that. And from that moment forward, I never had any fear of that kind of stuff ever again. I just literally left it there, and God just took it. So, yeah, praise God.
A key thing in there is actually wanting to be rid of that fear. And that's why I need to come back to that first point of being very honest with yourself at this point and asking yourself if you want to be free. Because at the moment, if you look at that fear in the face, you can't imagine being free of it because it's had such a power for so long. It's really hard. You know, it is really, really difficult. You know, if I picture myself walking across that glass bridge, well, I wouldn't be walking, and I might be crawling. There's another video of that bridge where a guy's literally being dragged across it, screaming. That would be me. I mean, I wouldn't even do the climb to get to the start of the bridge, to be honest. But I do genuinely believe that if I wanted to do that and not be afraid of that, I do believe God could do that for me. Because actually... When I was a child, I wasn't afraid of heights. Me and my dad were always the ones walking across rope bridges, and my mum and Julie were always the ones cowering at the side. But me and dad used to do all that stuff. But the spirit of fear is quite cunning, because when, as a youth group, we went to Spring Harvest with Stephen here in Iringa, myself and my friend Hannah went on the cable cars, and they stopped, and we were at the highest point. So I know I wasn't afraid of fear, afraid of heights before that, because I wouldn't have got on in the first place. So we were at the highest point, and there were some lads that were in the cable car just a bit lower who were standing on the top of it going, woo-hoo, and making it swing. And that's when this fear started to develop. And that's the thing, these fears, the spirit of fear, will look for opportunities to get in there and just take hold. You know, and that's what's happened. It can be from a very young age. You don't necessarily have to remember the incidents or the things that you heard or what you saw that started it off. But that gives me great hope, because I know that those things aren't of God, and we give them a lot of power. But God is more powerful. God is more powerful. If he can get somebody to walk on the water, he is more powerful. He really is. And we can be free of these things. So that gives me hope, because I know that's not the real me. And those things that feel uncomfortable, that paralyze you, you know the things that aren't of God, that aren't meant to be there, because they don't feel right. They don't feel comfortable. And that's not the real you. But it's scary to be without them, because you don't necessarily know yourself without them, because they can become such a strong part of your identity. You know, I had another patient who told me she didn't want to lose weight, because she said, "I'm known as the fat one in the family." And she said, "If I lose weight, I'll just be an ordinary person. I won't have a particularly special status in the family." And you sort of it sounds crazy, doesn't it? You're sort of sitting there thinking, is somebody actually saying this to me? But it makes sense. You know, so please ask yourself that question, because that's our starting point today. Can you imagine yourself being free of these fears? And do you want that? Do you want to see what it's like on the other side of that fear by going down that road? Do you want to see what your life could look like and what it could be with that fear, anxiety, worry not being there? You know, and the only way to see that is by taking some steps. There's no other way. If you want to see what's over there and what life looks like without it, you're going to have to make a move. You know, if we waited until we felt confident to do something, we'd never do it. That's the truth. Somebody wants, you know, to see something different, you have to do something different. There's no avoiding those kind of wobbly first steps in this. I wish there was, but, you know, it's about letting God give us that courage now, just to say, okay, I want to go forward with this. I want to see what my life looks like without this, because I believe God's given us all a sense of adventure. I believe that's the real us, all of us. That doesn't mean we're all going to do huge exploits, but it does mean a confidence. It can be a quiet confidence. You know, we're all different personalities, but don't believe the deception that fear is your personality. That's not a personality thing. That's something that's holding you back, paralyzing, controlling, manipulating you and immobilizing. That's the word I just kept getting this week when I was doing this, that we're being immobilized through fear. And I really, really feel God wants us to tackle this now and start that journey. And some of us, you know, we'll all be at different points on it. For some of us, we know, yes, I want this dealt with. Some of us, you know, I'm not sure. So that's your starting point. Let God reveal that to you. Let him show you where you're at on that journey. And we'll go for it. That's kind of a whistle-stop tour of fear, because there's so much more. But I really felt the key thing today was that we really understand where each and every one of us is at the moment, and that you ask yourself those important questions. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be able to move into whatever God's got for you?